Well, this morning we've been discussing the sudden drop in support for Prime Minister Kevin Rudd and the government, reflected in today's news poll. We'll see if that turns out to be a trend or not over the coming months. In the US, the latest CBS American news poll has President Barack Obama's overall approval rating at an all-time low of 44%. That's a long way below his record popularity ratings in April last year. And the president made reference to this himself at the White House Correspondents' Dinner on the weekend, where presidents traditionally poke fun at themselves.
It's been quite a year. Lots of ups, lots of downs. Except for my approval ratings, which have just gone down. Besides, I happen to know that my approval ratings are still very high in the country of my birth. I wasn't sure that I should actually come tonight. Biden talked me into it. He leaned over and he said, "Mr. President, this is no ordinary dinner. This is a big meal." By the way, all of the jokes here tonight are brought to you by our friends at Goldman Sachs. So you don't have to worry. They make money whether you laugh or not.
That's U.S. President Barack Obama addressing the White House Correspondents' Dinner on the weekend. Probably not quite as funny as George Bush. 18 months after his election as president, Barack Obama is back on the campaign trail for the midterm congressional elections, and he's appealing to the millions of young people who came out in support last time, urging them to return to the ballot box in November. David Remnick is the editor of the New Yorker magazine and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist and writer, and his latest book is a biography of Barack Obama. It's called The Bridge, The Life and Rise of Barack Obama, and he joins us this morning from New York. David, welcome to ABC Radio National Breakfast.
How are you, Fran?
I'm very well, thank you, David. Let's just deal with the immediate politics of first before we get to the the life that led to this position. The US president has dropped, I think, somewhere around 20 points in the polls from when he was elected. Does that surprise you, given his abilities as a leader?
No, it doesn't surprise me. You remember, the inauguration and the wave of good feeling that he came in on was extraordinary, and I think a lot of it had to do with the historical dimension of that inauguration. And because he's gone for big issues, whether it's health care or dealing with a really rotten economy, it was inevitable that his numbers would go down. It's true, you know, no politician wants his numbers to go down like that, but I don't see anybody on the Republican side that's a deep, deep threat at this point. But who the hell knows? That'll change over time.
You've had a close study of the man, and we'll go to the book in just a moment, and you talk about, and others talk about, the qualities that marked him out at some point as a leader. Is where he finds himself now in the polls, is it a case of over-promising in the campaign and the reality of the political office hitting?
I think it's the realities of politics. Remember, anytime you have a 10% unemployment, I think that's the case whether it's in Australia or the United States, there are going to be a lot of unhappy people around. And you can argue till you're blue in the face that that unemployment rate is not the result of the policies of Barack Obama. But finally, when you inherit the presidency, you inherit the problems that go along with it. We also have a war in Afghanistan that who knows how it's going to end up, and the United States has been involved in wars in Iraq and Afghanistan for quite some time, and people are not thrilled with that either, and any number of other issues. So it's inevitable that he would never have sustained the popularity ratings that he had a year and a half ago.
You write in the book that he spent, you know, years as a senator working very hard towards forming alliances and doing business, and he campaigned tirelessly. You also talk about how he impressed those that came upon him. When you talk about, for instance, media individuals, they're all struck by his charm and lack of neediness, his intelligence and his gargantuan self-confidence. His critics say that he was actually better at campaigning than he is at governing, that his consensus-seeking style has made him appear weak. Is that line of thought gaining traction?
Well, I think it's, to some extent, the consensus-gaining style has gone out the window. In other words, he would have loved to have gotten votes on the Republican side for health care, which is certainly his biggest domestic policy issue in the opening year of the presidency. But he never got it. He couldn't get it. The Republicans were determined to be obstreperously naysaying throughout the entire debate. And so, if anything, his conciliatory habits got votes on the conservative side of his own party. The reality of politics as such is that you can't put your arms around everybody. And the people that you can't range from many members of the Republican Party to foreign leaders like Ahmadinejad, who are not going to be charmed out of their positions.
Well, in a way, then, did he get it wrong when he promised a new kind of consensus-style politics? I mean, he was elected on that platform. Is this fall in the polls as much a vote of disappointment?
Well, no, I think depending on your politics, of course, if you're a right-wing conservative, you think he's a disaster, just as you thought Clinton was a disaster, just as you thought any Democratic president was a disaster. Those aren't my politics. I think, all things considered, considering how many unbelievably catastrophic prospects he faced coming into the presidency, I think he's had a very good first year and a half, not in every respect, but to put 30 million more people on the healthcare rolls, to nominate and succeed in getting the first Hispanic on the Supreme Court, to avert a gigantic depression, which was really in the offing, we forget, a year ago or more, are among the many achievements that he's been able to score. So I think that he's had a fairly successful opening year and a half.
Let's go to your book. It's called The Bridge, The Life and Rise of Barack Obama. Why The Bridge?
Well, it's called The Bridge for a number of reasons. One of them is the very literal bridge. The book opens in Selma, Alabama, which was the scene of one of the great civil rights battles of the mid-1960s, and that's where Obama makes his first direct speech to the African-American community and the beginning of this historic quest to be the first African-American president. And in the metaphorical sense, I think that Obama promised to be, and in many ways succeeded in being, a bridge between and among communities in the United States. Remember, he was yet an African father, and at the same time he was raised by white mother and grandparents, and so, which is not the usual thing in the United States or anywhere else. And as a result of that background, he's been able to be a kind of translator figure in American political culture.
And you talk about that, the embodiment, in a sense, of a post-racial America, a genuinely multi-ethnic America. Is that just a product of his breeding, if we put it in strict anatomical terms, or the person he crafted himself, he built himself to be?
Both. I mean, I think that's a great question, and the only possible answer to that is both. That he is who he is partly as a result of the way he was brought up and the oddities of his being brought up in a place like Australia, which is, a little bit like where you're from. I mean, it prides itself on its multiculturalism, but in Hawaii, the one piece missing from that multicultural spectrum is black people. The only blacks in Honolulu are basically on military bases. And so Obama had to figure out his African-Americanness. He had to pursue it. He had a big say in it, and that's part of who he is as well.
It's 14 past 8 on RM Breakfast. Our guest this morning is Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist David Remnick, who's just written a new book, a biography of US President Barack Obama. It's called The Bridge. David, in the book, you describe, I suppose staying on this theme, you describe Barack Obama as a shapeshifter. Mm-hmm. But that's not disparaging, that reference, is
it?
No,
it's not disparaging at all. And what I mean by it is that he has the talent to speak to different kinds of groups, different kinds of people, shift his inflection, shift his point of reference just enough to make sure that he's relating to those people, but without seeming like a phony. And that's a very, very interesting, even unique political talent.
And is he a phony, or is he the genuine
article?
No,
I don't think so at all. I think he's very much who he says he is. I think he's quite genuine. Again, I have no doubts that if you are a political conservative, that you find him much too liberal for your tastes. That's not me. But I understand that. And that doesn't trouble me at all. What troubles me is when you see something like the Tea Party movement, and sometimes you hear rhetoric that can be racist, that can be filled with fear-mongering. And you hear this not just in crowds, but you hear it very often with the politicians who are in the forefront of that movement.
You chart the rise of his political success, and there's a couple of points that you indicate are particularly particularly important. For instance, you say there's no underestimating the importance of dreams from my father in the political rise mm-hmm. of Barack Obama. The 2004 Democratic Convention, which he addressed, is also a key moment. But going mm-hmm. back before that, his loss in the 2000 election, he ran for Congress and he lost, deeply humiliating. You think he was somehow forged in that defeat?
I do. I think when he ran for Congress in 2000, it was in a vastly majority black district on the south side of Chicago. And the person he was trying to beat, the incumbent, was a former Black Panther leader, former radical turned kind of liberal congressman. And Obama just got his head handed to him. He lost terribly. He had the public didn't see why they should, in essence, fire the incumbent named Bobby Rush. And at this point, after this defeat, Obama was very down, and his wife really wanted him to get out of politics. She never really much liked politics to begin with. Michelle was very suspicious of electoral politics. And he basically squeezed out one more chance, which was to run for Senate in the state of Illinois. And the state of Illinois is much more diverse than that one district in the south side of Chicago, and he succeeded in appealing across ethnic lines much more than he did appealing to a strictly black district.
You mentioned Michelle Obama there. Clearly she acts as a reality check on the ego of this president, which people comment continually on through the book. There's one point at the swearing in, she observed all the commotion and said, I quote, maybe one day he will do something to warrant all this attention.
Exactly. It's like one of those sitcoms where the wife always has one eyebrow raised.
Just finally, Barack Obama is out on the campaign trail again, speaking through YouTube again, speaking directly to those millions of young voters, first-time voters in particular, who came out, who really got him elected, urging them to come out again. Do you think they still have the fire in their belly?
Well, look, I think finally these contests come down to who you're running against. And it's never going to be, a re-election campaign is rarely as exciting or as dramatic as the first time the guy gets in. So you have to be, inevitably, young voters faced with the excitement of a first election are going to feel some disappointment that not everything went their way in the prose of governing as opposed to the poetry of campaigning. But finally, if faced with a candidate like Sarah Palin or Mitt Romney or some right-wing Republican, I think those people will be back.
David, thank you very much for joining us on Breakfast.
Thank you.
That's David Remnick, and his book, The Bridge, The Life and Rise of Barack Obama, is published now by Picador. It's 19 past 8.